I want you to take the Word of God and please turn with me to the book of Joshua chapter 24. The book of Joshua chapter number 24. We've been studying through the book of Joshua together. And my, what a book it's been. We've come to the end of the journey. Believe it or not, I'm in my devotional reading in Joshua. And I read Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 and realized I missed something. So I might end up going back and preaching it. I'm not sure yet. But that's the wonder of God's Word. There's no way you can preach it all. Absolutely impossible. And I praise God for His grace today. What a wonderful song. Makes no difference what you're going through. God's grace is sufficient. It's enough. It really is. And I thank God it's that way. Boy, I tell you, it'd be rough if it wasn't, wouldn't we? If we could possibly go through something that God was not big enough to be for us. Can you imagine? That I'm glad no matter what it is, God's bigger than that. Makes no difference what it is, He's bigger. He's sufficient. He can see you through. Joshua chapter 24, beginning with verse number 29. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark two words in verse number 29. It's the word Joshua, and the next word is the word died. And I want to preach to you this morning on Joshua's death. Joshua's death. Now let's pray together, and what a fitting way to end the book of Joshua with the death of this dear man of God. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today and we thank you for your goodness to us. And I pray as I stand here, I recognize that I stand in need of help from above. And I pray, our Lord, that you empower me with your Spirit, empower me with your influence. And Lord, I pray that you forgive my sins, help me to be clean. May you preach this message through me and may you meet with us in a mighty way. May you forgive my sins, help me not to hinder you in any way, shape, or form, please. And if somebody's here that's come to church but never come to Christ, may today be the glorious day when they say yes to you for the first time. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In our last two messages in this book, we've listened in on Joshua's dying message. And oh, what a message it truly was. Matter of fact, he took that time in chapter 23 all the way through chapter 24, verse 28. He took that time on his deathbed to draw attention to his God and draw attention to his Lord. But now we've come to a time in Israel's life that was no doubt a hard time on them and their families. See, this giant of the faith, one whom God had used to perform miracles, one that had lovingly and courageously led them for years, has come to the end of his journey, and he dies. God's great general is passing off the scene. And let me say this to you, that he was a mighty leader, but he would never be the leader that God wanted him to be unless he first of all learned to serve, and he first of all learned to follow. Because see, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, I may go back and preach it, I may not. That's why I mention it here. It's interesting that Joshua is identified in Joshua 1:1 as Moses' minister. Interesting. At the end of his life, he's known as the servant of the Lord. But at the beginning of his ministry, he's known as Moses' minister. And the thought there is this, is that God makes leaders out of followers. For instance, he puts people over us all the time that if we do not learn to submit to them, God can't entrust us to lead other people. And the fact is, this great giant of the faith is drawing his last breath. You know, we can only imagine the scene it must have been when Joshua drew his last breath and passed out into eternity. You know, death is something that not many people, if any, like to think about. It's probably not something you thought about this morning. You know, death can be something that stuns you.
Death can be something that shocks you. It can even be something that seemingly robs you of something or somebody that you dearly love. But for all of our benefit today, we see that death can be a great teacher. We can learn some great things from death. Now, I'll be honest with you, I didn't wake up thinking about death today, and there's not many days I do, if any. But when somebody dies, especially somebody like Joshua, there are some great lessons to learn. Matter of fact, I see three things about his death I want to draw to your attention today. And these three things I want to apply to your life. Number one, as we think about the death of Joshua, first of all, I want you to notice his epitaph. You say, what in the world's that? An epitaph is some kind of an inscription in memory of a dead person. Friends, you might see written on a tombstone, a loving father or a loving mother or a beloved mate or a beloved son. That's an epitaph. But here in verse number 29, God gives his epitaph for the life of Joseph. And it's interesting what God says about him. In verse number 29, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun," here it is, here's his epitaph, "the servant of the Lord died." You know, it's interesting to note how Joshua was remembered at his death. At a time when so many things could have been said about him, such as a great leader, a courageous man, a faithful head of the home. There's so many things that could be said about this man at the end of his life. But at the end of his life, God chose to inscribe on his tombstone, so to speak. Just put this on it. He is the servant of the Lord. What a way to be remembered. What a way to be remembered when you die. You know, a servant is a person working in the service of another. It's one that works within the employer's household. It's one who serves somebody else by working for them and obeying their commands. Get this, it's someone who is in direct control of somebody else. Joshua lived his life in such a way that when he died, they seemingly said he fulfilled the role of a servant to the Lord. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, this is Jesus speaking, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." By the way, you're going to be remembered for something when you die. You will be remembered. And I want to tell you something. It's my desire that I want to be remembered when I die. I want to be remembered as somebody who simply used his life to serve his God. I wonder if you died today. I'm not trying to get you to think all eerie and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not here to scare you, but I am saying this, you're going to die. And when you die, people are going to remember you for something. Now, if you died today, what would they remember you for? For Joshua, it wasn't his leadership. He was a great leader. It wasn't his household. It wasn't that. It was this. Just put this on it. He served God with his life. Let me tell you something. That's the way you ought to have a desire to be remembered for. You ought to have a desire in your heart. Say, I want to live my life in such a way that when I die, they can look back and say, I'll tell you one thing about him or her. He or she served God with their life. What a way to be remembered. By the way, there's several reasons you ought to serve God with your life. Number one, this is not in my notes, but number one, life is of God. You wouldn't be here without the Lord. This is not even in my notes. I'm preaching without notes for the first time here tonight, I think, here this morning. But this is just something that just popped in my mind. Here's one of the major reasons why you and I ought to serve him with our life, because he gave us life. That's why. And without him and without his ability to I'm talking about to bring you into being and to keep your veins pumping blood. I'm talking about all this. He created you. He gave you life. And since he created you and gave you a chance to live, that's why you ought to live your life serving God, because life came from him in the first place. Secondly, you ought to serve him in gratitude. You ought to serve him because he has been so good to you. Let me ask you a question. Has God been good to you? Sure he has. And all I'm saying to you is, after all the Lord has done for us, we should serve him by living a life. What I'm saying is this. So many times we think saying thank you is enough. That's not true. And we do say thank you, and you ought to show gratitude with your lips. But you show gratitude more with God, more with your life than your lips. You can say thank you all the time, but if you're not listening to him and you're not obeying him and you're not serving him, your
word saying thank you doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
You ought to live your life serving God just to say, here's one way I can say thank you for what you've done in my life. I will not live for my pleasure. I will live for your pleasure because you've been so good to me. I want to say thank you with the life that I live.
The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2, the Word of God tells us this, if I can get to it right here, it says this in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God.
In other words, what I'm getting ready to tell you, you ought to do it because the mercies of God in your life. I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, the Word of God says, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Here it is, who loved me and gave himself for me. Why should I live a crucified life? Why should I give my body as a living sacrifice? Why should I say, yes, I will do that. Yes, I will serve God. Yes, if he tells me to jump, I'll say how high. I will do that. Why? Because he gave me life. Number two, he's been good to me, and that's one way I can say thank you. You ought to do it for gratitude's sake. Number three, you ought to serve him out of love. And what I mean by that is because of love. Here's what I mean by that. We ought to serve the Lord because of the great love he's shown to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. What am I saying? Let me tell you why you ought to live your life serving the Lord. You ought to serve the Lord because he's been good to you. You ought to serve the Lord because you have no life without him. You ought to serve the Lord because he loved you in spite of yourself. And he loved me in spite of myself. We ought to serve him, number four, because of the judgment seat of Christ. No doubt about it. One day all of God's children will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us again over in the book of Romans, chapter number 14. You don't need to turn to it for time's sake. But in verses 10 through 12, it says this. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, speaking to Christians. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The Bible says over in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5 and verse number 10, it says this. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, once I get to it here. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, I don't know what that means, but I don't want to find out what the bad is. I want to find out what the good is. Let me tell you one reason you ought to serve God with your life is because you have a date with God. That's why. We should serve him realizing we're going to meet him someday, and we should have a desire to have some rewards to cast at his nail-scarred feet. See, Joshua spent his days fulfilling the servant of Jesus Christ role, honoring him, pleasing him. You know what's interesting? A servant. What summarizes a servant in the Word of God. A servant was to honor their master in Malachi 1:6 and 1 Timothy 6:1. A servant was to be subject to their masters, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. A servant was to obey their master in Ephesians 6:5 and Titus 2:9. A servant was to attend to their master's call. Whatever their master called them to do, they were to attend to it immediately. In Psalm 123, verse 2. A servant was to please them well in all things in Titus 2:9. A servant, get this, was to prefer their master's business to their own necessary food. In other words, they were to be more concerned with obeying their master than than feeding their stomach.
That's found in Genesis 24, 33. The servant was to be faithful to their master in Luke 16, 10 through 12, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, Titus 2, verse 10. A servant was not to serve their master with eye service, but from the heart. That's found in Ephesians 6, 6 and Colossians 3, 22. When you think of this, a servant honoring their master, being subject to them, obeying them, attending to their call, pleasing them well in all things, being faithful to them, preferring their business over their own necessary food, and not serving them with just the eyes for eye service, but from the heart. That is what summarized Joshua's service to the Lord. What a man. What a man. And in the same way, we should make up our mind that we will serve Christ all our days, realizing, now get this, that servants were brought about by one of two ways. Now this is all under point number one. In other words, his epitaph, he was the servant of the Lord. And you and I ought to serve the Lord because life is from God. We ought to serve him just to say thank you. We ought to serve him because he loves us. We ought to serve him because it's the judgment seat is awaiting us in the future. But let me tell you something. How did a person become a servant? How do you become a servant? One of two ways in God's word. Number one, by birth. It's interesting. In Genesis 14, 14, it says, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Get it? Born in his own house. 318 pursued them unto Dan. Psalm 116, 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Jeremiah 2, 14, is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he spoiled? A person became a servant by birth, or secondly, by purchase. We see that in Genesis 17, 27. And all the men of his house, born in his house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Genesis 37, 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Get this, don't miss it. I know I'm hitting everywhere under this point, and I normally don't do that. But we're looking at Joshua's epitaph. He was the servant of the Lord. And you and I ought to serve God with our life just like he served God with his life. And we're looking at, how did a person become a servant? By birth or by purchase? Are you listening? For a child of God, both of those are true. Did you hear what I just said? If you're a child of God, you're born of God, no doubt about it. That's found in 1 John 3, 9, 4, 7, 5, 1, 4, and 18. I know I'm going too fast for you to take notes. But what am I saying to you? If you're a child of God, you have been made a servant of Jesus Christ by birth. Secondly, by purchase. Just like a servant was purchased from his master. In 1 Corinthians 6, 20, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7, 23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of man. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says this, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, that word redeems means to be bought back with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We should make up our minds that we will serve God with our life, realizing that if we've been saved, we have been born into the family of God. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have no right to live life the way we want to live life. We have no right to do our own thing. We have no right to live the way we want to live. We ought to live in accordance to the Master's call, because it's his precious blood that made it potential for us to go to heaven someday. We ought to make up our mind that when we die, we want to be remembered like Joshua was remembered. He was remembered not for his good works. He wasn't remembered for who he was. He was remembered as being the servant of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him. The Bible says in Matthew 4:10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Deuteronomy 10:12.
And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Let me ask you a question. I'm about to go to point number two here. Is this how you would be remembered if you took your last breath right now? If you took your last breath and you died, could people honestly remember you as a servant of God? They served God with their life. He served God with his life. She served God with her life. Hey, that teenager, hey, I know they were taken out early, but I'll tell you what they did. They realized that life is short, and they spent their short life serving God. Hey, that mom and daddy, let me tell you one thing. Their mind wasn't set on money about how much money they could get or how big of a house they could purchase and build and what kind of a car they could drive. No, that person's heart, that mom, that diet, that dad, what they spent their life, serving God. The bottom line is nobody likes to be told what to do. Nobody. You don't. I don't. Nobody else does either. But you know what the Christian life is? It's being told what to do. From a higher power. It's saying this flesh that does not like it will submit to God and serve him because he loves me. He has shed his blood for me. My life is because of him. My blood is flowing freely because he's allowing it to. This is all my life, not from me, but it's from God. And I will serve my God. I will say yes to whatever he tells me to do. I don't care what it is. I will submit to him. I will serve him. I will please him because he's been too good to me. That's Joshua. That's Joshua. Joshua convicts me. What a man, what a life. I can imagine Joshua maybe looking in on today, I don't know, saying this is what we remember Joshua for. Not for his parenthood, not for his family life, not for his great leadership. We remember him as a servant. He served God. See, that's not good enough for some of us. People want to be remembered for changing the world. People want to be remembered because they came up with this great invention. People want to be remembered because they turned a new leaf over right there. They changed their life. I'll tell you one thing, they changed their family. Not Joshua. All those things are true about Joshua. When he came to the end of his life, it just simply said, the servant of the Lord died. Convicting. Number one is epitaph. Number two is end. We see this in verse number 29 of our text. His epitaph, he's the servant of the Lord. His end is this, he died. Verse 29. It says, and Joshua, the servant of the Lord, died. Now this verse simply tells us, now this is, I'm a simple preacher, and this is so simple it's ridiculous. But if you'll let the truth of this sink in, it'll change your life. Joshua died. How much more simple can you get than that? But here's the point. He was a great man, and he loved God, and he served God with all of his heart, but it did not stop death from knocking at his door. In other words, there came the day when Joshua took his last breath, and he left this world. We heard much about Joseph in Sunday school this morning. And it's interesting in verse 32 of our text that Joseph is mentioned. And it says, in the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. Joseph was a great man. No doubt about it. But it didn't stop death. It goes on to talk about Eliezer in verse number 33. Eliezer was a great man.
But it didn't stop death. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. In the same way, we must realize the fact that if the Lord tarries His coming, every one of us are going to die. 100 years from now, not a one of us, more than likely, will be here. Not one. Do you realize that every hour, over 5,400 people around the world die? Every hour. Take a breath. Let it out. 10 people just died and went to hell. Now, more people died than 10, but 10 of them went to hell. Every time you breathe in and inhale and exhale, 10 people around the world, somewhere around the world, has died without Christ, and they've gone to a Christless eternity. And we sit back and say, well, I tell you one thing. I'll read my Bible 6 days, but I'm not going to read the seventh. I'm too busy. Hogwash. Well, I tell you one thing. I might go out and knock doors. I might give the gospel out, but I'm just so afraid of that. What you're afraid of is being offended. Amen. I'll amen myself here, folks, because I'm telling you the truth. What am I saying? I'm saying we are dying, and it's time that we realize only what's done for Christ will last. Why don't we get busy for God and serve God with all of our life, realizing that our end is coming. It's coming. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 50 years. It could be 5 seconds. I don't know, but my end is approaching. I'm getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And someday I'm going to hit death right in the face, and I'm not going to win. It's going to knock me off my feet. And I'm going to leave this world. And when I leave this world, it's not going to matter what kind of an athlete I was. It's not going to matter. Are you listening to me? It's not going to matter how much money I make. It's not going to matter what kind of car I drive, what kind of house I live in. It's not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is when I stand by myself in front of Jesus Christ and He says, what did you do for me? That's the only thing that's going to matter. I hope you see my heart in this. And I want to be a preacher that my heart comes out of my chest and you can see my heart. I'm pleading with you. Do something for God with your life. Don't serve yourself. It's going by too quickly. Serve God. Give God your life, realizing that your end is coming. A man by the name of Stuart Briscoe was moving to the United States. When he came here, he was impressed by the number of visitors, total strangers who visited his home, and a lot of them were insurance salesmen. This one insurance salesman began to throw his pitch, and he said, if something should happen to you, Mr. Briscoe said, stop right there. That offends me. Kind of took the insurance man by surprise. He said, sir, with all due respect, if something should happen to you, he said, stop right there. That offends me. Insurance salesman said, I don't understand what I said to offend you. He said, you're talking about death, aren't you? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, then why are you, now I'm paraphrasing, but why are you talking about one of life's only certainties as if it's a possibility? He said, when you're talking about death, don't ask me if. He said, ask me when. It's not an if. It's a when. Let me ask you a question. When are you going to die? If you'll be honest with yourself and you believe the word of God, you'd have to say, according to Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If you'll be honest with yourself and honest with God, you'd have to say, I don't know when I'm going to die, because you don't. My question and my message is this, is if you die, if you're next on the death's list, if death is waiting to knock on your door when you get home, have you served God with your life? If you have, I promise you, it'll be worth it. Amen. If you haven't, you'll wish you had. No doubt about it. Ecclesiastes 8:8. There's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Hebrews 9:27, as it's appointed unto men once to die, it's appointed. But after this, the judgment.
This being the case, listen to us. This being the case that we will die, we should let this motivate us to do what Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Oh, that's a powerful verse. John 9:4, Jesus himself said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. James 4:14, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. I want to ask you a question. You're listening well. I appreciate it. If you died today, what have you done for Christ? What have you done for him? What have I done for him? You know, I'm broken here because as I'm reflecting back in my mind about my life, right now I'm thinking about my life. And compared to what he's done for me, I've done so little for him. So little. I'll guarantee you there's not going to be one of us that stand before him at the judgment seat and say, boy, I wish I hadn't have done as much as I did. Probably every one of us are going to stand there and say, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I get up and do that? Why didn't I knock on that door? Why didn't I read my Bible that day? Why didn't I memorize that verse? Why didn't I pray that day? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I? Listen, don't let that happen to you. This is serious business, folks. Number one is epitaph. Number two is end. But number three, I want to show you his effect. We see this in verse 31 of our text. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Isn't that beautiful? And all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. The Lord saw fit to include in his holy word about Joshua that as long as Joshua was alive, the nation of Israel served God. Now yes, as long as him and then even after his death, those that outlived him who knew the mighty works of God, they had effect also. They affected people as well. But Joshua was the leader here. And the point I'm trying to get you to see this right here is this. They weren't perfect. I'm talking about the nation of Israel. They were not perfect. But they served God when Joshua was alive. Now stay with me. In all this, we can see, here it is, the influence that one man can have on others. Now we all need to understand something. Now get to, don't miss this. We are affecting somebody else. You are. You're affecting somebody else in your life. It may be a wife, a husband, it may be a child, may be a grandchild, it may be a student, it may be a co-worker, it may be somebody you don't even know about. But it's a guaranteed fact you are influencing somebody else. You have no choice in that. You're influencing them right now. Now here's the thing. How are you influencing others? How are you affecting others? Is it for good in God or is it for bad in the devil? Let me give you two or three stories here and I'm slowly drawing to a close. I hope that doesn't mean you're drawing to a close, okay? But children who see physical violence between their parents are 6 times more likely to abuse their own spouses after they marry. Stay with me. If those children were also hit by their parents as teenagers, in other words, they're teenagers and their parents start hitting them, they're 12 times likely to abuse their spouses. Effect. Influence. On the flip side of that, Dr. John Getty went to this one place I can't announce here because I can't pronounce it. Starts with an A and ends with an M, so if you want to see it and help yourself later, but anyway, it's a place back in 1848. And he worked there for 24 years. Now listen to this. On the epitaph, the tablet that they erected to his memory, were these words. Listen to this. When he landed in 1848, there were no Christians. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Can that be said about you and your school? Young people? Can that be said about you and your workplace? Can that be said about you and your family? I tell you one thing. When he came, there were no Christians. When he left, there were no heathen. What a way to be remembered. Years ago, get this,
the communist government in China commissioned an author to write a biography of Hudson Taylor. But the purpose of this was to distort the facts and present him in a bad light, because Hudson Taylor had such an influence over there. So this communist government, atheist, whatever you want to call it, they were hiring this guy to tell lies. Just say it the way that they were going to tell lies on him, trying to present him in a bad light, and they wanted to discredit the name of this consecrated missionary of the gospel. But as this author, who was an atheist, was doing his research, and again, this is thrilling, he was increasingly impressed by Hudson Taylor's character and godly life, and he found it extremely difficult to carry out his assigned task with a clear conscience. Eventually, at the risk of losing his own life, this is thrilling, this atheist laid his pen down, renounced his atheism, and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior by simply just looking up Hudson Taylor and studying his life to distort it. Instead, the Holy Spirit convicts him and becomes a child of God. I wonder, which way are you influencing others who are watching and mimicking you? Are you causing others to serve the Lord like Joshua? They simply said this: Joshua's dead. His epitaph, he's the servant of God. It didn't stop death. But I'll tell you one thing it did. As long as he was alive, we serve God. I wonder, what kind of effect do you have on those around you? And again, let me emphasize, you are influencing somebody. How are you influencing them? Now, obviously, I could apply this to so many ways. One way is parent to children, boss to employee, teenager to teenager, teammate to teammate, you name it. You've got influence somewhere. Use it for God. Now get it, one of God's great generals has come to the end of his life and he takes his last breath. Can you imagine? And at this time we see three things to help all of us. His epitaph. He was remembered as a servant of the Lord. How will you be remembered if you die today? Number two, his end. Even though he's a great man, a great general for God, it didn't stop death, and it's not going to stop death in your life either. When death knocks, you're going. Are you ready? Number three, his effect. He used his life to influence others to serve God just like he did. How are you influencing others in your life? Joshua's death, and what great lessons we can all learn from it if we'll let the Lord speak to us and drive it in our heart. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you. I pray you'll help me to draw the net in such a way that pleases you. We thank you for this great general, Joshua, who served you with his life in such a wonderful capacity. And I thank you that at the end of his life, I praise you for how you saw fit to include in your word his epitaph. He was remembered as simply a servant of God. And I pray, Lord, that you help us all to understand that we are going to die. We will be remembered for something. And we're influencing others for some cause. Lord, please do business this morning. Forgive my sins. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Let me say this to you, that you cannot be a servant of the Lord without being a son of God first. See, a servant is made a servant by birth. Now, in the Old Testament, it's either by birth or by purchase, but for a child of God, it's by both. I realize that there may be somebody here today, and you realize that if death knocks on your door next, and it could, you never know, do you really have assurance in your heart that heaven's your home? I'm talking about just like death came to Joshua, who was this mighty servant of God. Death is coming to every one of us. Unless the Lord comes in the air first and takes his children away. If you're here today and you say, Jody, if I died right now, If I died just like Joshua died, if I died right now, I know without a doubt, that heaven is my home. I am a child of God. I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. I am a child of God, period. If you know that without a doubt, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Now, please don't raise it unless you know that for sure. God bless you. Thank you. Now, there were many, many hands that went up, but there were some who did not. And I want to say thank you for your honesty. And I also want to say this. If you're sitting there right now and you couldn't raise your hand to that, right now what you're doing is gambling. And listen, you may have a day left. You might have more time than anybody else in this congregation left. Or you might have the least time of anybody else in this congregation. You just don't know. You just do not know. Now, if you're there today and you say, Jody, I'm being honest, I could not raise my hand. I could not raise my hand saying, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I am not 100. I could not raise my hand to that. Now, before I ask you to respond to this, I will say this. I will not come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know how to proceed with the invitation. If you're here today and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that heaven's mine. I realize I'm going to die. I know that. And I realize this is nothing to gamble with. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand in the air right now? Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to your seat. But you say, Jody, I do not have that assurance. Along with this one, would you raise your hand? Anybody else at all? Anybody else at all? I'm looking. I want to ask you this. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And I'll deal with the one who raised his hand in just a moment. If you're a Christian, you say, Jody, I know I'm a Christian. But if I died today, I'm not sure I could be remembered the same way Joshua was. He was remembered as a servant of God. And you say, Jody, I want to be remembered right. I believe God's speaking to me. If I died next, I'm concerned with what I would be remembered for. You might be a teenager. You might be a teenager that's just been hiding your light under a bushel at school. Or maybe you're a parent, or maybe you're a boss, or maybe you're just an adult that God's speaking to. And you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I want to be remembered for the right thing. But right now, if I died, I'm concerned I probably would not be. It would be something else other than a servant of God. Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person about this. God bless you. That's several hands. God bless you. Thank you. Have you today are saying this. We'll say this and we'll proceed. Joshua had great influence on the nation of Israel. He really did. And maybe there's somebody here today and you say, Jody, I realize now that I am influencing somebody. You might not even know who it is. However, it might be a parent with children. It might be grandparents with grandchildren. It might be a boss with coworkers, whatever the case may be. It might be a teammate. It might be whatever. Or maybe you don't even know who you're influencing, but you understand that your life is not influencing them in the right way. Whoever it is that's watching you, you're concerned that your influence is not right. Now, this doesn't mean that you're smoking dope or getting drunk on the weekends necessarily. It might just mean that you're just not being what God wants you to be in front of other people. And you say, Jody, would you pray for me that my influence would be better? Would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. That's several hands there. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. I want to ask this final question. Here it is. Have you say, Jody, I've got a child in the home. Now, they may be living off at college right now, but they haven't left home yet. And you say, Jody, I've got a child like that. It may be a child or children. We have children still in the home. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look up at me, please. If you have a child still living in the home, I want you to look up at me. Now, I'm taking a little bit of time here, but I think it's worth it. The greatest influence you have is in your home. There's no doubt about it. beginning February 14th, Valentine's Day, which is a Sunday, we're going to begin a new family series entitled Building Families of Faith. For 6 weeks, we're going to be hitting the home. I'm excited about it. I trust you will be too. Maybe in just a moment, maybe you'd like to come. See, you're just trying to get a lot of people up here. If the Lord wants you here, I want you here. If your children's in this service with you, maybe you want to bring them to the altar. Maybe it's the first time you've ever brought them. Maybe we need to start doing that more. You see what I'm saying? Maybe you want to come and ask the Lord to help you. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll do it. I want all of us to stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this invitation, use it in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. If God's dealing with you, would you come? The one dear person who raised his hand, not sure that heaven's his home, right now, sir, this is completely up to you, but we've got somebody who's trained with the Bible who can share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. I want to ask you to step out, and I want you to come. As Brother Gary sings, why don't you do that now? Please, please, would you do it?
Oh, to Jesus,
may the Lord help you.
I surrender.
May God help you. Maybe some of you parents want to step out with your children. By the way, when you step out, it helps others come. May the Lord help you with this.
And trust him in his presence daily.
Think about it.
I surrender all. I surrender.
Playing through softly, he'll sing another one in just a moment. You know, I've got a burden for the children of this church, and I've got a burden for the teenagers of this church. I've got a burden for the adults, for the senior saints, all of it. And here's the thing. Maybe some of you parents with a teenager in this auditorium, maybe God's leading you to grab your teenager right now and say, let's go. You say, they'll fight me. Let them fight you. You say, Jody, what good will that do? It's showing them that your priorities are right. You know, we need parents. And I believe we have a lot of them, but we need parents. They say, I'm going to influence my kids for right. I'm going to do the right thing. May the Lord help you with this. Brother Gary's going to sing in just a moment. The dear gentleman who raised his hand about salvation, we don't want any pressure. I don't believe in pressuring people. But I do believe that God's dealing with you, and right now is your time. Would you come? Let us take a Bible, share with you how you can know the Lord. As he sings that next verse, God help you to do it. Maybe some of you parents want to come with some of your children. As he sings, would you do it, please?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee. Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. We appreciate how the Lord's dealing. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed the book of Joshua. I've been studying through it for, hallelujah, I don't know how long. God used it. We praise him for it. May the Lord help us. Amen. Let me remind you, service tonight has been backed up 30 minutes from 7 to 6:30. If you are a visitor and you have the visitor's card in your hand, if you wouldn't mind to take that visitor's card by the Welcome Center in the lobby, if you'll drop that visitor's card down, we've got a special gift just for you, just to say thank you. And I trust we'll see you this evening, okay?
What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and be dismissed, but here's what I want you to do, okay? We've got a dear gentleman that's being dealt with at the altar. As you leave, I want you to be extremely quiet. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? I'm just feeling led to do this because I'm not sure how long this will take. May the Lord help us, and God willing, we'll see you tonight at 6:30, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Dotson, sir, if you don't mind to lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, please.